Good evening, everybody. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the Transfiguration. And we're going to be looking at the account of this in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. We'll be starting with verse 27 and going through 36. So that'll be Luke, chapter 9, 27 through 36. It says, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing there. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. So this evening, as we look at this story, I would like to look at it in a way that, you know, Transfiguration not only shows Jesus in his deity, but also it shows him as a human. And this is also the hope of all of us. As we see Jesus being glorified there, or being transfigured, that's a hope that all of us are going to have. One day we will be transfigured. And that, as a child of God, that's what we need. That's our goal. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure." So here we read that we are children of God. We are children of God now. We're not going to be later. We are children of God now. And that should be the goal of all of us. We want to be like Jesus. Every one of us want to be like Jesus. We want to have that opportunity. Jesus was glorified before his death and resurrection. And this is a picture that has been given to us. Someday we will be transfigured and we will be glorified also. Only glorified, but not on our own being. So we'll go back to the story. Luke chapter 9, verse 27. It says, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." So here we see that this was fulfilled for the three apostles 8 days later, after Jesus had done that on the mountain. In 2 Peter, verse 1, 16 and 18, says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when a voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain." So here, Peter saying, you know, in the Bible, all the stories in the Bible, everything there, these aren't fairy tales, these aren't myths, these aren't things like he's saying, we're not following cleverly devised stories. This is historical. These these facts are historical, and that's what Peter's saying. This isn't a myth. He's telling us what he was an eyewitness to. Amen. And so that's, again, where our hope is in God's Word.
Amen.
Go back. We'll look at verse 28 and 29. It says, About eight days after this, he took Peter, James, and John with him and went up to the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. His clothes became bright as a flash of lightning. So here we see that the light wasn't shining on him like a spotlight. The light was coming from within. And that light was shining outwardly. And the transfiguration, again, should be the goal of each and every one of us. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 52, it reads, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. So here we see that when the Lord Jesus comes, we're going to be changed. And that's the picture the transfiguration is showing us. In his humanness, we too are going to experience some type of change. I'm not saying it's going to be exactly that, but there's going to be some type of change where we will be able to be in God's presence. And then Jesus will bring us up into that. So verses 30 and 31. It says, two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. And here we see that Moses, as we know, Moses represented the law, and Elijah was a representative of the prophets. And they spoke about his death that was coming. In Romans chapter 3, verse 21, it says, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made, to which the law and the prophets testify. So here the law and the prophets reveal that the only way that God could save us was through the righteousness of Christ. The sacrificial system was the heart of the Mosaic system. And that lamb that was on the altar, it was symbolic of Jesus, who died for our sins. And the prophets spoke of this Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. In verses 32 and 33, it says, Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what he was saying. And in Luke, that's the only place where we have that, where he's saying Peter didn't know what he was saying. And what that's saying is that in putting up the three shelters, you're now putting Moses and Elijah equal with Jesus. And although I don't think he meant that, but that's what that would be doing. And we know that Jesus was the only one that was going to go to the cross, die for our sins, and then be resurrected. But you know, with Peter, I sometimes think about this, and he was in the middle. He was experiencing a supernatural event, something that was just mind-boggling, and I think that also shows how we have been created, where we want to worship something. There's something we want to worship, or for some of us, we want to be worshiped. We see in Revelation chapter 19 and chapter 22, when John is confronted with the angel, and when the angel is speaking to him, his reaction is he falls down at the angel's feet fellow companion. I'm just another worker. You don't worship me, you worship God. And I think Peter didn't quite understand what he was saying. It's just when you're in that event, you're in that time, that happens. But again, we know that we don't worship anyone, any created being. There's no created being that we worship. No matter how noble they might be or intelligent, anything like that, we worship God. And then 34 through 36, it says, while he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. So again, here what we have that at Jesus' baptism, the voice coming from heaven. And now we have God's testimony here about giving his testimony to Jesus. Jesus is the final authority in all matters of revelation and in religious matters that we have today. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says in the past, verses 1 and 2, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. So again, what we're getting here from this passage is that what Moses and Elijah had to say was very wonderful. Wonderful picture that they were seeing for us, telling us what was to come. But Jesus is the Son, and he is the only one who came to earth as the final revelation of God to man. Jesus was showing us who God was. When we receive Jesus as our Savior, and we are obedient to the gospel, God then adds us to the body. Jesus is the only one that God has been pleased with. And it's only through Jesus that we'll be accepted by God. So this evening, this kind of concludes our message to the New Testament Church. And you might want to be, you might have questions about that. And we would love to share the gospel with you. Also, maybe there's prayers or something on your heart that you might want us to pray for you with. At that, you may come forward at that time as we're singing our invitation song.